Do you see the cross of Jesus Christ? Do you see the price of our salvation? Jesus demands no more than he gave. He gave a cross, he demands a cross. Take up your cross daily and follow me.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Our subject is the essence of Christian service, and that seems to me to be the burden of the Apostle Paul in the first seven verses of 2 Timothy chapter 2, the essence of Christian service. Many modern men in our modern world suffer from an identity crisis. They do not know who they are, why they are here, or where they're going, but that Christians do not suffer from such an identity crisis. Christians know who they are. They know that they're creatures made in the image of God. They recognize that they're fallen creatures, and that carries some liabilities with it. But they know also that even though they're fallen creatures made in the image of God, that having placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are redeemed creatures, and that the image of God and its many potentials and powers has in large measure been restored in them as a result of their conversion to the Lord Jesus Christ. They know who they are. Creatures made in God's image who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They know not only who they are, but why they are here. They know that they are here to stand in a relationship of love and obedience to their God, in a relationship of love and obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. They know that they are here to spend and be spent. They know that they are here to be servants of the living God. I hope that you know that as a Christian. That's why God has left you here. That's why you remain on earth after your conversion, to spend and be spent, to become the servants of God, to stand in a relationship day by day and moment by moment of love and obedience before the Son of God. Now, the Apostle Paul and the young man Timothy were classic demonstrations of the essence of Christian service. And Paul is appealing to each one of us to follow that demonstration, that example. Every child of God ought to understand the essence of Christian service. And beyond that, he ought to purpose in his heart to engage in it. He ought to understand it and purpose in his heart to engage in it. And Paul wants to give us in verses 1 to 7 three facets of the essence of Christian service. The first he gives to us is the qualification of a servant, and that is in verse 1. And he says that qualification is twofold. In order to be a servant, a man must first of all be a son. Thou therefore my son. And in a word, that means he must be saved. Timothy was the son of Paul only in the sense that God had given to Paul the privilege of introducing him to the higher relationship of salvation. He'd become a member of God's family. Indirectly, in that sense, he was a spiritual son of Paul. It is absolutely impossible to set about serving God and to be a servant of God in the biblical sense of the term, in the meaningful sense of the term, until we have been saved. He must be saved. He must be a son. Secondly, he must be strong. You notice Paul gives to us there a proposition. Be strong. Be endued with power. Let yourself be made strong, more literally. Be wrapped all around. Be robed in the strength and the might of your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a proposition. Be strong. There's a principle in the grace. You cannot be strong apart from capitalizing on the grace of God. There's a significant personality. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. There is no strength. There is no service. There is no salvation. There is no meaning apart from this significant personality, the Lord Jesus Christ. The qualification of a servant, he must be a son of God. He must be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The occupation of a servant is in verse 2. It's something that I'm only going to outline for you and go on to the next point in just a moment. The occupation of a servant is in verse 2. In a word, it revolves around the preservation and the transmission of God's truth. That's the occupation of a servant. We are to be preservers of the truth of God, the principles of Scripture. We are to defend it, and then we are to propagate it. We're responsible for the preservation and the transmission of God's truth. That's the great, high, noble occupation of a servant of God. Paul actually says four things about that truth in verse 2, which I'll give to you just in outline form. He speaks of its credibility. He says, "This is a truth which you heard from me among many witnesses." That's its credibility. It came from an apostle. It's apostolic in origin. It's the word of God. And It is legal in attestation. You heard of it among many witnesses. That's a legal phrase that was used in courtroom circumstances in the ancient world, supported by many witnesses. It's credibility. You heard it from me among many witnesses. Its caliber, he says, I want you to take this truth, which you heard from me among many witnesses, and commit it to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. And that very phrase, commit this truth, describes its caliber, its great value. It is a term that is used of depositing something of great value, as in a bank with a trustee. It's a commercial term, a banking term. And it is always used to describe something of great value. You take something of great value and you commit it. You deposit it into the safekeeping of a trustee. The very use of the term expresses the value and the caliber of the message that Paul says to Timothy, you must preserve and transmit. Commit it. Recognize its great value. It has caliber to it. There's no message like this message, the message of the gospel. Its credibility, its caliber. He describes, thirdly, its constituency. I want you to commit this message to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Actually, he says those men have two great qualities. One, they're loyal to the truth. They're faithful. Two, they're involved in the communication of the truth. They're able to teach. Those are the very two qualities that we ought to ask God to develop in our lives. One, that we would always be loyal to the truth, never betraying it, either with our lips or with our lives, with our beliefs or our behavior. Never betraying the truth. We should be loyal to the truth if we're ever to be good stewards of the truth. God had deposited this truth with Paul. Paul had deposited this truth with Timothy. Timothy was to deposit this truth with faithful men. They were to deposit it with others also, and it comes all the way down to you and me. And we are to continue the process. And we're to be loyal to that truth, and we are to communicate that truth. We're to be faithful, that's loyal to the truth, and we're to be communicating the truth, able to teach it. And then finally, the continuity of that truth is reflected in that last phrase, others also. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. That's always the burden of the Bible, others also. You can't miss the centrality of that theme from Genesis to Revelation. There's always this burden in the Bible for others also. Every child of God, everyone who names the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, should visualize himself as a link between two generations. The truth has been deposited in you as a result of your salvation experience and your study of the Scripture. The truth has been deposited in you, and you are a link between the past generation and the next generation. And we must not ever fail to fulfill our responsibility as a link between two generations. There's the continuity of that truth. Now, there's much to be said in that verse that I'm not saying. I'm giving you just an outline form there, a skeletal form. The occupation of a servant, the preservation and the transmission of the truth. Then Paul goes on in verses 3 to 7, and he gives us the third facet of the essence of Christian service. He's given us the qualification of a servant, verse 1. He's given us the occupation of a servant, verse 2. And now he gives to us the illustration of a servant in verse 3. And he gives us three illustrations. One, he says, a true servant of God is like a soldier. What does it mean to be a soldier of Jesus Christ? A true servant of God is like a soldier. And that's what he says in verses 3 and 4. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth. He's a soldier. He's involved in spiritual conflict, spiritual warfare. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. He says, one, true servants of God. This is the essence of Christian service. You are a soldier involved in deep spiritual conflict. You're a soldier. The emphasis there is on single-mindedness. And then he says, you're like an athlete. That's the second illustration. And that would be in verse 5, if any man also strive for masteries, or compete or contend in the games, literally is what the Greek says. Yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. He says, you're like an athlete. And the emphasis there is on the self-discipline of an athlete. And then he says, beyond that, you're like a farmer. With the emphasis, stick-to-itiveness, the husbandman that laboreth, sticks by the stuff. The farmer that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Now, first of all, Paul says in terms of an illustration, you Christian servants, you people who name the name of Jesus Christ, you who have been born into God's family, you who have been saved, he says you are to become involved in Christian service. And fundamental to that concept is learning to function as a soldier functions in warfare. A good soldier is a man who is willing to do at least three things. And Paul gives those three things to us in verses 3 and 4. He says, number one, a soldier is a man who is willing to suffer. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. A soldier is a man who's willing to suffer. Are you willing to suffer for Jesus Christ? Are you willing to pay a price Do you see the cross of Jesus Christ? Do you see the price of our salvation? Jesus demands no more than he gave. He gave a cross, he demands a cross. Take up your cross daily and follow me. And our little crosses pale into insignificance in the face of his mighty and his great cross. And yet he says there's a cross for us. It involves suffering. A good soldier is a man who's willing to suffer. And then secondly, he's a man who's willing to separate. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. He's a man who's willing to separate. Thirdly, Paul says, he is a man who is willing to serve, that he may please him, serve him, please him, do whatever he says, obey him instinctively, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now let's talk about this for a moment, this idea of being a soldier. You see where we fit into this scheme, into this portrait that Paul paints for us of what it means to be a true servant of God. Let God speak to your heart. Open up your heart to his promptings, the ministry of his Holy Spirit and of his word. Paul says, first of all, that a man who is a soldier, a man who is a real servant of God, is willing to suffer. He's willing to endure hardness. Soldiers on active duty do not expect a safe or an easy time. They take hardship, risk, and suffering as a matter of course. They recognize these things to be part and parcel of a soldier's calling. I think too many times we don't recognize that. We don't understand the implications of what it really means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Soldiers on active service do not expect a safe or an easy time. They take these ingredients, risk, hardship, suffering, as a matter of course. They know that it's part and parcel of a soldier's calling. I think one of the great failures of modern evangelism, neo-evangelical, ecumenical evangelism, sometimes it creeps down into fundamental circles. I think one of the great failures of modern evangelism and follow-up has been the tendency to inadequately prepare people for the conflict that they're going to face in the Christian experience. The great scandal of modern Christendom is what we might call nominal Christianity, easygoing Christianity, passive Christianity, lazy Christianity. Those people who semantically know the language, they can parrot back the appropriate phrases on the appropriate occasions. They have the name, that's what it means to be nominal. They have the name, but not the nature of a Christian. The great scandal of modern Christendom is what we might call nominal Christianity. It describes those whose religion is like a great soft cushion, protecting them from the hard unpleasantnesses of life while changing its place and its shape to suit their convenience. With a Christianity like that, it is no wonder that cynics speak of hypocrites in the church. They laugh at Christianity and they write off religion as escapism. In any sphere of life, men must be confronted with the facts. Even when a man becomes a Christian, he needs to be confronted with the facts. Paul says, I'm facing you with the facts, Timothy. In order to be involved in Christian service in the biblical sense of the term means that you will be a soldier. You will accept the hardship, the risk, the suffering, the rejection, the difficulty that attaches itself to the martial arts, to the military syndrome. To be a servant of God, you must be a soldier of Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
For him, the affairs of this life become secondary, and the things of Christ become primary.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.